sense of welcome and if you are looking for somewhere to belong. I personally think that Good Life is a pretty good place to belong. And as we come to the end of this year, we come to the end of another year of reading. And this year we read the New Testament. And coming to the end of Revelation takes me back to the beginning of the Bible. Why? Because at the end of the book of Revelation, you read in chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, these words. This is John speaking, and it's a vision that he's had. He says this, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and down the middle of the great street of the city, and on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month or in season. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, and no longer will there be any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be upon them. And there'll be no more night, and there'll be no need of light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. They'll reign forever." You get this glimpse that again, God is a God of life. And takes me back to the beginning, because in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, when God created, he gives people access to the tree of life. He wants people to live. And he wants people to live in the fullness of what he created. In Genesis, it says God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye, that were good for food. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you'll die." And at that moment, right in the beginning, God says this, choose life or choose death. But it's a choice I'm giving you. Choose life or choose death. But my plan for all eternity is life. And at the end of it, when there's this vision of what is yet to be, the whole center of it, the whole point of it is that we be restored to fullness of life. And the reality is that this existence, this portion of life, you see, this is not the fullness of life. This is a blip of life. We will live. As Rob Bell refers to, and I've adopted the phrase before, we live in this existence between two trees. We live in this existence, a time frame marked by two trees. We had access to the tree of life. That was cut off. And again, we will have access to the tree of life if, in between these two trees, we choose life. God says, choose my way, you choose life. Choose your way, you'll choose death. Might not sound much of a New Year's message, but it's not. New Year's not upon us till next week, and then I'll speak about trust. But this week, this is the end of 2013. And it's a good point that as we come to this time, the closing out of a year on our calendar, a lot of people sort of go, man, I've got to reassess. It's a good point to sort of look at life. And I think it's a good point to consider this as we're on the end of our readings. Jesus speaks to the church in Ephesus and says this to them. Listen in Revelation chapter 2. I actually have this against you, he says to these believers or this church. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen, or consider how far you've strayed from that first love. Repent, or turn around, come back, do the things you did at first. If you won't, I will come and I'll have to remove your lampstand from its place. And then verse 7, he says this, listen. If you have ears, listen. Listen to what the Spirit's crying out to you. And to the one who is victorious, or to the one who overcomes, or to the one who comes through all this, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. God's desire, even in his correction of this church that has strayed from their love of him, he says, come back to me because I want you to have life. He doesn't delight in punishment. Somewhere these believers had settled into something that had allowed them to lose that love of Jesus, that love of his kingdom, that love of his purpose. And usually that comes when we take our eyes off him and off his promises and off his person and we get them on ourselves. Same story, repeated throughout history again and again and again and again. It's what happened in the Garden of Eden. God says this, I'll give you life. Eat from life all day long. Enjoy everything I've given you. But you get your eyes on yourself and your ability to determine what's right and what's wrong for yourselves, you're going to choose death. But I want you to have life. And when we settle in to something short of that life that God promises us, we fall away from that zeal, that passion of loving him and what he's about. Really? If you think about it, if this life existence, if this is all we had, it really would be a bit of a bummer. However good we make this life, you cannot overcome death. However good we make this life, you can't avoid sickness. However good we make this life, you can't avoid suffering. However good you make this life, you can't avoid offense. However good we make this life, you can't avoid the need that you at some point will have to forgive or not forgive someone. Why? Because our world's a mess. And however comfortable we make it, however good we think we make it, there's something in us that says, it's got to be better. It's got to be better. In this world, we do see good. There's no doubt. There are certain things in life I love. Yesterday, there was no surf. The surf was pathetic. It has been for ages. But to just be in the sun and to be in the water and just lying across a board and feeling that cool of the water and the warmth of the sun and, you know, fooling around on these little waves, what fun. Well, look up at the stars last night and we see Jupiter over on the horizon and you just look at this expanse and the beauty of it. You wake up to bird song. Over the Christmas time, we ate lovely food. Thank God for taste buds. It's good. And in this world, we can't help but experience good. Why? Because God is a God who is good, and He created things good. But the thing is, Ecclesiastes 3:11, listen to the words here. He has made everything beautiful in its time. There's no denying that there's beauty in this world, that there's good in this earth. And God's given us that as just like a little sample platter of His goodness. It's just a foretaste, and it should never satisfy us. I don't know if you've ever like had a tasting of something, like a little taster plate of something that you taste it and you're like, oh man, I want more of that. I want to come back for more of that. That's God's invitation to us in this world that He has created. It's not that this is the be-all and the end-all. This is a sample platter of what He has in store, of what He designed, of what He purposed, of what He calls life. Jesus said He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. But go on from here. He's made everything beautiful in its time. But He has also, Ecclesiastes 3:11, He has also set eternity in the human heart. He has made everything beautiful in its time. You can experience the beauty, the goodness, the taste of God, but He has also set eternity in the human heart. But even in that, no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. You're never going to comprehend it, never going to understand it till we're in it. You can't preemptively prepare yourself and think about it. God says you can't even begin to imagine the things that I have in store. We exist between two trees. The call of God has always been to life. You go back to Genesis, God created. He created everything and called it good. And then He created mankind. And God, after He created, He placed. He placed mankind in a garden to spend time with Him, to enjoy everything that He'd done. He provided for us. He said, whatever is the fruit of this, eat it. Enjoy it. He related with us. He walked with us. And even when we rejected Him, He's the one who sought us out. He's the one who called us. He's the one who clothed us. He's the one who told us and taught us life without Him would be broken. He provided the remedy. And He prepares a place where it will all be restored. It's always been Him. And it's always been about life. You see His call in Deuteronomy chapter 30. He speaks through Moses, His servant. He says, listen to me. I set before you today life and prosperity, or death and destruction. You choose. I tell you today, love the Lord your God. Walk in obedience to Him. Keep His commands. Then you'll live. Then you will increase. And God will bless you in the land that you are entering in to possess. But if your heart turns away, and if you choose not to obey, and if you're drawn to bow down to other gods and worship them, I tell you this day that you will be destroyed. Not that God just goes, you do that and I'll destroy you. No, He says you pursue those desires of your heart, the desires of brokenness, it will lead to your destruction. It's not this view of God who just is, you know, I will bless or I will hurt you. That's not what God says. God says your choices will lead to your hurt. Your choices will lead to your destruction. Your choices will lead to that end. But choose life. Choose to obey me. Choose to follow me. Verse 19, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witness. As witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children might live. That's the heart cry of God. It always has been. So my hope at the end of this year, as we stand on the threshold of another year, my cry is that we might choose life. Pray that we might see a larger picture that might change the way you look at this life. I hope 2014 might be a perspective check. I hope it might change the way we think about the time that we have. Might change the way we think about what lies ahead. Might affect the way we think about our future. That it really might be a time of reckoning where you look at it and go, God offered life. Am I walking in that life? Am I walking in obedience to Him, pursuit of Him, desire of Him? I hope it might change the way we look and even the things we enjoy, that maybe they were given just as a taste. But we live in a world that's not right. That's why there's a longing in our hearts for eternity. You see, in the presence of God, the Bible says is fullness of joy. You think you've had joy? You've had a crumb. You've had a crumb. God is not limited. He's not hurt. He's not damaged. He's not bruised. He's not defined by this life. He's not defined by this experience. He's not confined to this life between the trees. God is not just about this space. God says He was the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. Everything exists in Him and because of Him. God is eternal. And therefore, we've got to get a perspective that somehow takes a hold of that. Psalm 90, the psalmist said this, before the mountains were born, you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting unto everlasting. You are God. Why is God concerned about our lives now? Because He's a God of life in eternity. But you and I only have this blip to make a decision to choose life. This is it. This is where we make our choice. And in the scope of eternity, it's like a flashbulb going off in a night sky. That's it. But in that and everything that happens, we have a moment to choose. Why does this existence between the trees matter? Because there's life outside of that. Life is eternal. It is. That's what the Bible says. What does life beyond that tree of life at the end look like? Well, Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven, a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Goes on to say there, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now amongst the people. He'll dwell with them. They'll be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain. The old order of things has passed away. And he who's seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. And he said, write it down. For these words are trustworthy. They're true. They are sure. So choose life. As we approach 2014, what's the deepest longing of your heart? What's the deepest longing? What are you hoping for? Is there anything you're determined to accomplish? If so, how are you approaching it? What is your priority? I hope this year again, and this is why we're going to be looking this year at the themes of our faith. What are those things that we are anchored to? What are those attributes of God that define everything else? James chapter 4 says this, listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, we ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you'll end up boasting about arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Why? Because it's boasting outside of God. It's just me at the center and what I will do at the center. Allow God to define your life this next year. What are you building towards? My hope really is that we will get our focus right. I hope that this year again, we will be centered on the knowledge of the person of God, His attributes. And how do we do that? Well, again, by His Word. God's Word is a sure foundation. And when we know it, it gives life. Psalm 119, Your Word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Oh, how I love Your Word or Your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on what You say. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey Your precepts. How sweet are Your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. For Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light on my path. My prayer this year, 2014, is that you'll recognize that your life is still within the context of two trees of life. This is the time where our life is defined. And God says, come, choose life. You will choose life or death, but choose life. How? Know the principles of God. Know the Word of God. And allow His eternal Word to define you. Don't just do what seems good to you. Do what is good, defined by His Word. Let me pray. Father, thank You that though we live in this existence that we call time where we mark off days and we mark off weeks and months and years. God, You are eternal. And Your greatest desire is that we would choose life and know You in eternity. That this, all the good things that we love in this life are just a sample platter, just crumbs on a tray of that which You have prepared. Lord, I pray that we would never become satisfied and take our eyes off You. Oh, and God, thank you for that word. That as we know your name, we will trust in you, for you, Lord God, have never forsaken those who seek you. So go ahead of us, I pray, as we come into this new calendar year. Give us wisdom. Reveal yourself continually and bless us with your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.